Praise the Lord. You saved and you know it. Say amen. Saved and happy about it. Say amen. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful singing tonight. Amen. Mercy said no. Amen. We can all talk about the mercy of God and the grace of God, where he's brought us from. Amen. And he wants to do the same thing in your life. Amen. Brother Brian's talking that message. I believe that's one of the only, I think I might have preached it one other time than that night. Amen. And the Lord did move in this house, and the salvation got to do the same thing for you that he did for Brother Brian. If you'll just yield yourself to him. Amen. And let him come into your heart and life. Amen. We appreciate the Lord tonight. Can we give the staff and all those that's doing a wonderful job around here a wonderful hand clap tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to get in and worship the Lord tonight. Let the Lord have his way. You worship me and my wife as we sing to you. Now Abraham prayed for the day God would give him a son. Blessed Isaac was his name, the greatest gift he'd ever known. Then came the day, who would have dreamed God would say, you gotta give him to me. Now on this mount you must prove it's you and Isaac, or it's me and you. And when I lay in him, he wanted me. Now most of us, I dare to say, we still got an Isaac in God's way. But on this altar you can prove it's not your Isaac that God wants, he's wanting you. And when I lay my Isaac down, oh, I had a broken heart, but my father's proud. And on this altar where he lay, oh, justified, it wasn't him. Of us, I dare to say, we still got an Isaac standing in God's way. But on this honor you can prove it's not your Isaac that God wants, he's wanting you. Father's proud, and on this to find it wasn't him. He wanted me. Come on, let's worship him today. Come on, lift up your heart with your hands all over this building. Hallelujah. Give him glory and praise tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The book of Acts tonight, if the Lord will help us again, chapter 13, verse number 36. Acts chapter 17, verse number 6. I'd like to tell you tonight, we have, me and my wife, I'd made a CD before I got married, and we haven't made one together, but we made one recently together, and it came out in March. And so if you want a CD, we do have them available. Brother James, I have them out there in the fellowship hall. And we'd love to get you one. Brother Jeremiah Yoakum down at Redemption Road made it for us. And he always does an outstanding job. His quality. And we'd love for you to get one tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 13, verse number 36. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6. I'd like to say thank God for all the preparation, the fasting and the prayer that's went on to make this possible. Amen. I thank God. Sister Boland was telling me, Brother Terry Boland got saved here when he was 13 years old. Amen. And it's just only eternity's going to tell what took place on these campgrounds with the presence of the Lord. I believe God has this on his map. Can you shout amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I know he knows it. God is not geographical God. But I tell you what, he looks forward to this week more than we do. To have all of us in one place with our attention on one thing. Amen. And I believe when we gather, the Bible says two or three gathered and together in his name, there is a mess. I know that. But I'm talking about, I believe God gets prepared, amen, to come down and can't wait for you to get here, for your attention to be on him. His name's been cursed, rejected, and despised. But he says there's going to be about 250, 300 people going to be there. It's going to worship me. Hallelujah. I'm going to be touched. Amen. You're going to help me tonight, aren't you? Acts chapter 17, verse number 6. Acts chapter 13, verse number 36. Amen. Now, again, the Lord has so impressed me on this message. I didn't come, amen, just to preach sermon to you. I feel like God's given me a word from the Lord. If you've heard me in any youth conferences recently, you'll hear some of the same things. This is what God laid on my heart for this generation. I'm not one to just re-preach what I got. But I feel the necessity of this message, if I have ever felt one burning in my spirit and heart, for the end of time, I feel like this is the message God has so burned in my spirit. And so if you've heard me in the past, you're going to hear some a lot of the same thing. But I feel the Holy Ghost to talk to this generation, amen, concerning this subject. Acts chapter 17, verse number 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying. Let's everybody cry out this aloud. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Let's say it again out loud together. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. One more time. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 36. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, he fell asleep. Can you shout amen? Amen. Let's read that out loud together again. For David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God, he fell asleep. It's the will of God for your life here, tonight, in your life. This scripture should be your focus. He served his own generation by the will of God. From this day forward, from this week forward, it should be your direction and your aim and your priority, your focus to serve your own generation by the will of God.
Amen. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 58 and 12. Isaiah chapter 58 and 12 to go with our scripture tonight. Those are our theme scriptures for the last night, tonight, and Lord willing, tomorrow night. But Isaiah 58 and 12, the Bible speaks of some promises to the children. He says, they that shall be of thee, that is us, we are the children, amen, shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Can you shout amen? They that be of thee, talking about the children, shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundation of many generations. Isaiah 61 and 4 says it again. They shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Hallelujah. That's the promise of God concerning, amen, Israel's children. Amen, physically. But whatever he does physically to the Jews, he does spiritually with you and I. And the promise of God to us is that our children, amen. Well, you are the children tonight. Amen. You are the young folks. He says you've called, to, amen, to build up the old waste places and to restore the foundation of many generations. Can you shout amen? Praise the Lord. In other words, God has called us to be spiritual revolutionist. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, I can do nothing without you except you anoint us to preach your gospel. Father, there is nothing that we can do by our own hand or our own accord. Father, we pray that your anointing be so real upon us, Lord, that it makes preaching easy, Lord, to reach the hearts of these people, Lord, that they leave here, these young men and women, and I say, there's no other explanation except you were in the house. Father, I pray for that kind of anointing tonight and this week, that lives are changed in the wonderful name of Jesus. All the young folks shouted amen and hallelujah. Well, I did it like this last week in a youth camp. All the boys shouted amen. All the girls shouted hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's a little quiet. We may do better later on. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we get into the Word of God tonight, begin to preach to you, amen, last night concerning the destiny and the will of God and the plan of God for your life. Amen. We understand the fact that God has a divine destiny and will and plan, amen, and purpose, amen, for your existence. That we are not a mistake. We are not here by chance. We're not here by choice. Matter of fact, coincidence is not even found in the Bible anywhere. In the Greek and Hebrew form of the word, you cannot find anywhere in the Bible where anything was coincidence with God. Everything that's in the scripture has a particular purpose and plan. Every little minute detail. Just like the disciples when they went down to untie that coat, they thought they were just going to get Jesus a donkey to ride on, but yet they didn't understand that it had been prophesied all the way back in Genesis that you're going to find the coat tied to a choice vine. So these disciples were about to untie, amen, hundreds of years of prophecy. Hallelujah. They thought they were just common, ordinary young disciples doing what, amen, hallelujah, their master had told them to do. They might have been arguing on the way down to untie that coat and might have said, amen, why us? He lets Peter, James, and John go on the mountain, but all we get to do is go untie the coat. But yet what they didn't realize was they were about to untie hundreds of years of prophecy. If you ever get to thinking how God has to make everything, amen, happen for situations to get at the particular place at the particular time, it would blow your mind, hallelujah, how everything has to work in your life, amen, to get you to the place. The Bible said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. I began to talk to you last night about James, our son, that we adopted. His whole whole entire life. Amen. 10 years old, he's in California. His daddy comes back into his life, a drug addict, sends up and says, you know what? I'm going to start a new leaf. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to move to Missouri. Got a sister in Missouri. I'm going to move there. Amen. He got him there, and in 3 days, couldn't take it. Took him a three-day bus drive. Got there, stayed 3 days, couldn't handle it. Amen. Dropped him off at the police station, turned around and went all the way back to California. Now, you look at that, every bit of that, had he gave up and dropped him off at the police station in California, he'd have been lost in that system. Are you understanding me tonight? But God moved on that drug addict father to drive him all the way to ride all the way to Missouri to drop him off in that system. Why? Because Junction Hill Pentecostal Church was there, and there's a foster care family in that church that needed to get a hold of them boys to bring salvation to his life. Hallelujah. Is that you see how everything in your life has to strategically take place. I believe tonight, this week, is one of God's strategic plans, and for you to realize that you are in the plan of God for these last days. Oh, I feel like talking to you tonight. You are in the plan of God for these last days. Your purpose, your life, the very reason why you're alive and you survived everything that you survived in our youth camp tonight is because you are part of the plan of God for the move of God in these last days. Now, I believe with all of my heart that God is calling this generation, amen, to bring a spiritual revolution to the church, amen, and to our own homes, our own lives, to our churches, and to our communities. Now, I'm not going to argue tonight on the belief of the rapture of the church. There's so many different beliefs on the coming of the Lord, whether he's coming before tribulation, in the middle of tribulation, or after tribulation. I would understand tonight, and I would be a fool to try to even disprove anybody else's belief on that. Is everybody following me? So I'm not here to change doctrine tonight. Amen. And so what I'm going to say to you, Jesus is coming back. Amen. And the stage has been set like never before for the rapture of the church to take place. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't say that I wasn't going to tell you how I believe. I just said I wasn't going to try to change you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Brother Don Rich said it like this. He said, my brother believed that we were going before the tribulation. He said, my mother believed we were going through all of the tribulation. So Brother Don Rich said, I took the safest road out and believe we're going in the middle of it. Amen. Well, whatever you believe is between you and God. Amen. But that's not a heaven or hell issue tonight. Amen. I said it's not a heaven or hell issue, whether you believe it or not. Brother Randy Webb got up at Bristow camp meeting when I was there when I was a young boy, and he said these words. He said, I'm not going to fall out with you if you want to stay here, so don't fall out with me if I believe we're going out before it. Amen. Well, needless to say, the key thing is to get your ticket, amen, and have it ready for the coming of the Lord, whether it be pre, mid, or post. But the fact is, now I personally believe, amen, that the Bible declares in this that before the Antichrist can be revealed, the son of perdition, that he that letteth must be taken out. Amen. Which is the Holy Ghost. That the Antichrist cannot be revealed without he that letteth being taken out, which is the Holy Ghost, which I believe when the Holy Ghost is taken out of here, we're going out with him. Can you shout amen? Well, you're quiet on me tonight. That's not my message, but it's going to set the stage to what I want to preach to you tonight. Brother Clint Ninen used to always say this. He said, I pray and ask God, Lord, how are you going to get us home? You're going to call us by name in the twinkling of an eye, and it's going to be a supernatural roll call. You're just going to boom, 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 and say our name in the twinkling of an eye. He said he got to pray, and he said he just felt like the Lord said to him, no, I'm going to call the Holy Ghost home, and whoever he's in, And whoever he's working in and moving in there, they're coming home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that in this year that we're living in 2011, that the stage of end time prophecy has happened more than the last 100 years that we have known as a church. Oh, you're here to help me tonight, aren't you? Since January, 5 months, 6 months, going on 6 months, we have jumped more Bible prophecy than we have, amen, because size Israel becoming a nation, which had to take place, amen, in the 1960s, amen, before them becoming a nation, amen, besides that, amen, what has happened since January of this year to set the stage for the rapture of the church and the coming of Jesus Christ has brought us closer in 5 months than we have been in hundreds of years. So the fact Grandpa preached it 80 years ago, amen. You say, Brother Greg, we've heard it for years and years. And my great-great-grandpa, amen, was preached that Jesus was coming. I understand that. But never has the situation been where it's at tonight for the coming of the Son of Man like it is right now. The Middle East, the confusion and the chaos of the Middle East, the revolutions that have taken place in the Middle East, the uprisings that have took down 60-year-old dynasties and 27-year-old dynasties, hallelujah, to set the stage that every nation surrounding Israel, amen, hates Israel, amen, and is setting up for the Muslim Brotherhood. Are you going to hear me tonight? I said, I'm setting us up for the Muslim Brotherhood. God's word teaches us that the chaos will come, the trouble will come, and then in the middle of the trouble will rise the politician who will speak peace. Hallelujah, which will be the Antichrist. Now, you're not shouting right now over this when you ought to be shouting over this, because that means that our redemption is closer than it has ever been in the history of the church. And one reason why we're not shouting tonight over that is because we don't know for sure if we're ready or not. But if you knew for sure you were ready, your eyes would have done opened up, your hands that would have went in the air, and you would have said, dear God of heaven, I'm about to step on the streets of gold. I'm about to see the redemption of the church. Woo! Look at somebody and say, we're about to go home. I said, we're about to go home. Look at somebody and say, get your shouting shoes on. Hallelujah. It's about over. It's about to take place. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm about to say hallelujah here and hallelujah over yonder. I'm telling you, we're closer than we have ever been. The stage has been set. The only thing to take place now, like building of a stage. Boy, I tell you, I got a hold of that tape, Brother Collins. Ooh, from Richlands Camp Meeting years ago when Brother Collins preached on the grand finale. Hallelujah. Woo! One of the best messages I've ever heard in my life. Brother Collins says, you think his birth was amazing. Hallelujah. When he was born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He said, if you thought that was awesome, if you thought it was awesome when he hung on that cross between heaven and earth and bled and died for our sins. Hallelujah. If you thought it was awesome when he ascended into the heavens,
words, if you thought the day of Pentecost was amazing, dear God, he didn't get finished preaching none of those points. But he said, nobody, hallelujah, starts off with a finale and ends with nothing. He said, everybody starts with the small and ends with the grand finale. Hallelujah. And he said, you haven't seen nothing yet like you'll see when he splits the eastern skies and comes in the clouds of glory, the grand finale. Woo!
He got to talking about him and his wife and the kids going to watch fireworks. Hallelujah. He said, there's all gathered out there. Amen. Ready to see it. Boy, they were shooting fireworks and oh, did you see that one? Woo, did you see that one? Did you see that? Did you see that? He said, but then all of a sudden when you thought it couldn't, I'm a shut up, Micaiah, when you thought it couldn't have got any better, the grand finale, hallelujah. Well, guess what, children? We're gathering up, hallelujah. We're sitting down on the grass on the hillside, and the only thing waiting on now, woo, that was awesome. Man, that was great. But we're waiting and anticipating the grand finale. Hallelujah. And the stage has been set starting in December of this last year. God used a young man to start the chaos in the Middle East to bring us to the greatest step, hallelujah, of the coming of the Son of Man than we've ever been closer than our lives. And God is speaking to you right here in this congregation, because this may be, we've said this every year, don't we? This could be the last one, but never have we said it on the terms that we're living in right now. Hallelujah. Every week it gets worse. Every week it gets a step closer. Fox News, CNN News, hallelujah, is just laying it out. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah to Jesus. Our president, amen, getting on and asking Israel, amen, to go back to their 1960 lines. Hallelujah. I mean, that ain't coincidence. Amen. He didn't get in office by himself. Hallelujah. He never even run a McDonald's, let alone a nation. But God had to let him get into office to use him. Come on, somebody, to bring us to where we are. And my God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. And God is looking at this generation and saying, I've got you in my plan. Hallelujah. And God is looking for a generation that'll just yield to him and let him be. This year in our youth conference, we had a little over 2,300 kids, amen, that gathered together to worship the Lord. It was not the shouting and the height of the dancing and the speaking in tongues as much, but it was such a deep, radical move of the Spirit of God, in so much that young people have went home since March and have started all-night prayer meetings. Hallelujah. One church over doubled. One 16-year-old boy, never been on fire for God a day in his life, went home. Hallelujah. Got up at his high school at break and started preaching. Amen. Well, they took him to the principal's office and set him down and told him he couldn't do it. But he got up. He said, listen, sir, mister, with humility. He said, listen. He said, I'm not here to fight you or to rebel against you, sir. He said, but you let that other group over there have their rhythm guitars and they sing country music at lunch and at break, and you don't never say a word. He said, you got that gothic crowd over there promoting their attire, amen, and their gothic beliefs. So how can you let them do what they want and
you don't allow me to preach the gospel. He said, son, you got me there. Go have all the time you want at break, as long as it's done in the boundaries of break and lunch. So every lunch and every break, he gets up on a picnic table bench and preaches the gospel. Why? God's looking for some young men and some young women that arise up and say, wake up, the spiritual revolution is in me. Let me be in the will of God for this hour. I got to get to my message, don't I? Hallelujah. Woo. Tracy Boyd called me this evening. He's talking to, he said, what are you preaching, Ralph? Hallelujah. I said, you know I ain't no point preacher. I can't tell you what my points are. Hallelujah. I just preach and hope I get some on the way. I get too excited. But I want to talk to you just a little while about spiritual revolutionists. Even men like St. Francis. Everybody shout St. Francis. I want you to know there's something worth living for, something worth fighting for, something worth dying for. Can you shout amen? I was with Brother John Rice and them last week for 3 nights. They had a lot of bus children in their youth camp. I think I saw Brother Rice come in a while ago. Amen. They had a lot of bus children. And so I began to preach to them. Amen. A lot of them have such anger, amen, and such bitterness in their life because of their home lives, that we're living in a generation of such anger. Amen. And such bitterness. And they're fighters. And but they just don't know what they're fighting. Come on, somebody. Amen. I said they're fighting, but they just don't know what they're fighting. And therefore, because they don't have a clue what they're fighting, they fight everything. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Stand up for me, buddy, real quick. I want you to fight. Just go to fight. Amen. Just go to war. Amen. Is that how you fight? Go ahead. Fight it. Hallelujah. Give it a kick, too. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. You've got to be more aggressive than that. Come on out here. Hallelujah. I think the enemy would beat you if you just did this. You got to give him some punches. Punch that, not me. Punch the enemy. Hallelujah. Come on, drop kick that thing. Whoop it. Hallelujah. Now fight that direction. Amen. Now come out fighting this direction. Come on, are you understand? He's fighting. Now watch this. Fight that way. When I tap you on the shoulder, turn around and start fighting me, okay? No, fight that way first. Hallelujah. Now turn around and you start fighting me. Amen. You'll begin to fight the very thing that you need, because you don't know what you're fighting. You begin to fight against the very thing that you ought to be fighting for, because you don't know what you're mad, and you don't even know why you're mad. Some of you have been in church all your life and you're sitting there so miserable and you're sitting there so mad, but you know Pentecost is real and you know holiness is right, but you're mad because it's just not enough and you're not reaching what you ought to be reaching, and there's such an uncomfortableness in your spirit. Well, I come to let you know what that is this week. That is the power of God trying to awake your soul for a spiritual revolution in your church, in your house, in your community. Lift your hands all over this house and give God a shout of praise. Brother, keep me as loud as you can keep me. They're used to loud music and it ain't gonna hurt them, believe you me. And we're not here for the elders, we're here for the young people. Keep it loud so everybody can hear what I gotta say, and I don't have to fight my voice to let them hear what I've gotta say. But I come to tell you tonight that God has designed and destined. How many give our elders a hand clap that they're here? I'm not disrespecting them, I'm just saying amen. We can have it loud because you're used to it being loud. Amen. St. Francis was a young man. Hallelujah. His daddy was a clothing merchant. And he was had lots of money. Amen. And he had silk in the finest of array. And St. Francis. Now, a lot of people have not talked about him or preached about him because the Catholic Church uplift him. But really, the extravagant lifestyle that he lived, and then his transformation. Amen. He had a relationship with Jesus Christ, but there was nothing else for him to be part of at that time except the Catholic Church. But he was setting the stage, can you shout amen, for the Protestant movement to be birthed. He just didn't have all the pieces of the puzzle. Well, I feel like preaching to you tonight. So we stay away from St. Francis. But I want you to know St. Francis, amen, was a young boy, had finest. He would have extravagant parties, extravagant lifestyle, extravagant, all kind of girls loved him because of his money and his friends because of money. But it wasn't enough for St. Francis. See, there's something in you that money cannot make you feel. There's something in you that love, relationship from a boy or a girl cannot make you feel. You've got to have something you can live for, something you can fight for, and something you can die for. Are you listening to me? And so therefore, St. Francis, he wanted to be a knight. He wanted to ride like the shining knights with the armor on. Amen. In one of his battles, so he got his own militia, and they went to war. But in the middle of the war, he got captured. Amen. And his platoon got captured, and they were taken in holding for almost a year. While in prison, St. Francis began to pray. He began to call out to the Lord. Amen. But when he got out of prison, he kind of went back to the same lifestyle. He's having extravagant parties. All of a sudden, he said, I'm going to be a knight. I'm not finished with wanting to be a knight. And so therefore, he went to go to war. But this time, before the war, he had a dream or a vision of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And St. Francis gave his heart and life to Jesus and got born. Amen. Again. Are you listening to me? And after being born again, he gave up that extravagant lifestyle. And instead of having parties and instead of having a good time with the society of the world, he began to preach the gospel. He began to go around and preach the gospel. He began to take the money of his father and renovate the sanctuaries, the prayer chapels. Amen. Yes, it was for the Catholic Church. Amen. But yet he was doing what he knew to do for the cause of what he had been born in the spirit of the Lord. Are you hearing me tonight? And all of a sudden, St. Francis, in the middle of this, amen, God moving in his life, his mother and daddy arrested him and put him in the prison in their own house. Amen. And locked him up. Amen. It wasn't long. Then they had court. And in the court, St. Francis, amen, had to decide whether or not he wanted to be part. I need my jacket. Amen. That he needed to be part, amen, of his home life, his heritage. His daddy didn't care when he was partying. His daddy didn't care when he was living it up and wasting his money on wild parties. But now he's using it for the cause of Christ. Amen. And for the gospel's sake. And he's going against his common church. Hallelujah. And so therefore his daddy's shutting him down. But in the middle of the courtroom, St. Francis walked over. Come here, Pastor Setzer. And in the middle of the courtroom, he went over and took off his royal robes. That cloth, come over here so I don't scream in that monitor right there. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. He come over in the middle of the court and took off his daddy's clothes. Hallelujah. And laid them at the feet of his father, which represented, amen, because listen, if you're going to be a spiritual revolutionist, hallelujah, you got to cut ties. I'm going to need it again, Pastor, just one second. Amen. If you're going to be a spiritual revolution, you got to cut ties with everything that's going to hinder you. Oh, you're not hearing me tonight. When you become a spiritual revolutionist, you're going to have to cut ties with relationships. You're going to have to cut ties with some friendships. You're going to have to cut ties with some worldly things. Are you understanding me? But God is looking for some young men and young women in this youth camp that will lay down their garments at the feet of popularity and turn their back as if to say, you can have it all. I'm going with Jesus. God's looking for a young girl that'll rise up and say, you know what? I'm not here just to get married and have babies. I'm here for the destiny and the plan of God. I'm going to lay down my clothes, my garments at the feet of relationships and turn my face to the King of Kings. God's looking for some young boys that'll lay it down and say, you know what? It don't matter if I am the coolest kid in school. It don't matter if I am the popliest kid in school. All that matters is that I'm going with Jesus. I've got something to live for. I got something to fight for. I got something to die for. God's looking for some young people that will make up their minds and lay down their garments at the feet of whatever's hindering you. Whatever's stopping you tonight, that thing that gets a hold of you when all the shouting's over and the dancing's over, and God's looking for you to bring it and lay it down at the feet in the courtroom and make it official. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going with the cause of Christ and the cause of ministry. Anybody hearing me tonight? That's the reason why when them two young disciples, fresh out of the prison of Philippi, come walking into Thessalonica, the town cried, "These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." They wouldn't strength-wise, they wouldn't physical talent-wise, but they knew that them boys had a cause, and the only thing that would stop them was death. Hallelujah. The only way to stop them was to kill them. I come to tell you, God's looking for some young boys and young girls that have the cause of Christ burning so deep on the inside of you that nothing can stop you and nothing can shut you down. You fear nothing but God, hate nothing but sin, and long for nothing but to know Jesus Christ and the power of his glory. Are you hearing me, priest, tonight? St. Francis made up his mind, laid down his garments. He continued his ministry. They begin to ride and preach. And what else he did, when the Holy Ghost moves on you, you'll do the same thing. They had what they called the swamp land. Are you hearing me preach tonight? And that's where the lepers were put. When you had leprosy, they would put you in the swamp country. And the lepers lived in there. Their faces eat off. Their arms are eat off. Their legs are being eat off. Amen. And they stunk. And you had to stay within so many feet of them without contacting that disease. But St. Francis got on his horse. Hallelujah. And he rode into the swamp country. Hallelujah. Whoa! I come to tell you tonight, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, he's going to lead you into the swamp country. Boy, it's going to get quiet here tonight. Hallelujah. You know, when I traveled and evangelized, I gleaned from pastors. Amen. I'm an observer. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, and I say this when he's not with me or around me, but Brother Jim Setzer, one thing that I learned from him that I've applied to my own ministry in my own church, amen, is when he's the first pastor that I was ever with, hallelujah, who picked me up and took me out to eat. And when we got through eating, he said, "Hey, preacher, I'm going visiting. Do you want to go with me?" I said, "Sure, let's go." I've been visiting before the nursing home. I've been visiting before the hospitals. But I'm telling you, dear God of heaven, if he didn't take me down in the middle of a place where I thought, "Oh God, where in the world are we going?" Amen. Amen. It was horrible. I mean, the town, the surrounding. I mean, I felt like I needed a bulletproof vest. Amen. It was scary. I've been downtown Atlanta one time at 2 o'clock in the morning, and a truck driver took me because he knew where to turn and not to turn. I mean, down there where the street where they turn down and shoot you. I thought, "We're dear God." And you know what? I thought we're going to visit some poor member of his church. No, ma'am. We got out, had to kick beer cans to get through the house. Amen. And walked into a living room where our couch was falling apart over here and over here. And we sat down to some teenage boy, hallelujah, that had come in on the bus ministry. And we sat there and talked to him about the Lord. Come on, I left there thinking this. You know what had happened? I've been down in the swamp country. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I made up my mind as a young preacher. Hallelujah. Lord, let me have this quality about my ministry. And you'll know what? I just took a tent and put it down in the middle of the worst facility of our our city. Are you hearing me? And my mayor said, Atkins, you're at the wrong place, but you'll have to pick your chairs up every night, unload them and load them, because they'll steal them. He said, you better wear a bulletproof vest on the pulpit. I said, no, sir, I got one called the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know, ever since that time, they couldn't believe that we went into that facility. We have not missed a weekend. Come on, somebody. My children's department has got so broken and burdened that they drive it. They go to places pizza delivery guys won't even go into. The police station said, you can't go in there without deputies. Come on, somebody. But my children's department said, but Pastor, them babies need Jesus. I come to tell you here tonight, God's looking for some young boys and young girls that'll rise up and say, I'm called to best ministry. I'm called to be a chief. I'm called to puppet ministry. I'm called to start a revolution. St. Francis went down in that swamp country and he met us, one of them lepers wandering in the swamp country, and he jumped off and took them silk clothes of his father and he wrapped that old leprous man up and he hugged him and he loved on him and he went to get on his horse and he turned around, grabbed him. He wasn't supposed to even touch him. And kissed him on the cheek. To let him know. Come on, it wasn't perverted like it would be today. But that was a sign of a signet of a love. Hallelujah. I'll touch the untouchable. I'll reach the unreachable. It's going to get quiet here tonight. You listen to me, young people. If your home church don't have outreach ministry in it, it's not in the will of God. Come on, somebody. Oh, it's going to get tight here. And you know what God wants you to do? God wants you to go home and look at that man of God with love and respect, because what it probably is, them sitting in the pew ain't willing to do it. Them that's been sitting there for years ain't willing to go. And that man of God's just waiting on somebody who has started up, who will be that. You say, but Pastor, my man of God don't have outreach ministry. That's all right. The Holy Ghost will take you there and he'll give you the right attitude to help that man of God get to it. I'm not talking about rebellion tonight, but I'm talking about a revolution. My God, somebody help me preach in this house here tonight. The Holy Ghost, you're mad. You don't even know what you're mad for. I come to tell you why you're mad. God is looking for somebody to rise up with a cause, with a purpose, and say, I will be a revolutionist. Are y'all having church with me tonight? God's looking for young men and young women. I want you to hear me. Hallelujah. God's looking for young men and young women that'll rise up. Amen. Hallelujah. History defines revolution as a sweeping, dramatic change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, hallelujah. Nate, what's your last name? I can't hear good. You're going to have to come here and tell me. Goodyear. Didier. Why in the world always pick people with last names I can't pronounce? Nate Didier. Something. Hallelujah. Goodyear. Didier. It's something year. Hallelujah. Amen. Nate. Hallelujah. Didier. Goodyear. Hallelujah. Anybody ever heard of him? Well, dear God, everybody in the house has heard of him. Who are you? I didn't hear of you. You must be popular up here, and I didn't know you. Nice to meet you. I'm Greg Atkins. But the world don't know who Nate is. And the church world don't know who Nate is. But you want to know what? There was a meeting happening in the East one day, and there was a young man sitting there that the world didn't know about. He was just a young man sitting in the congregation when the preacher got up and he preached. And in the middle of his preaching, he challenged that congregation. It has yet to be seen can do with a young man who will totally sell out to Christ. It's yet to be seen what God will do in and through a young man who will totally surrender his life to Christ. And just like Nate sitting here tonight is just a common young teenage boy, this young man heard it. He walked out and lifted his hands and said, I will be that man. And when he did, that boy whose name was not known nowhere now is known in every church. Hallelujah. Dwight L. Moody. Hallelujah. He was never known until he accepted that challenge. And not only did Dwight L. Moody become that man in his own life, he become that man in his family, that man in his church, and that man in his surrounding community, that man to his entire continent. And he didn't just affect his own life, he affected entire continents for the glory and the cause of Jesus Christ. And I said all that to say this. It was just a normal service where a bunch of people gathered together. Hallelujah. And if God can do that with Dwight L. Moody, then Nate Goodyear did year. Hallelujah. Liable to walk out of this year's youth camp, throw his hands in the air and say, I will be that man. Hallelujah. Oh, is there some young lady here that'll walk out of here and say, I will be that girl? My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Who did God send me to Ohio to preach to this year? Who did God send me here to talk to? What young boy, what young lady, God is calling you to a spiritual revolution. John Wesley said, if I had 300 men who feared nothing but God and hated nothing but sin and determined to know nothing among men save Christ and him crucified, I would set the world on fire. And he did. 300 men. I don't know if he got his 300, but he turned the world upside down. You say, Brother Greg, what did he do? He's the founder of the Methodist movement. And all of you think, wow, I thought she was going to say some big Pentecostal movement. Honey, Methodist was Pentecostal. At one time, full of the power and the glory of God. Well, my shirt tail doesn't come out. I guess I'm going to have to preach with it out tonight. Is that all right? Hallelujah. It don't make me no unanointed, does it? I'm still anointed. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to understand me tonight. Hallelujah. Mr. Wesley changed his society, changed his own life, his own family. God's looking for a young boy that will open up salvation to his house. Do you know that I was the door to salvation to my home? There was nobody saved in my immediate family till God saved me, and I was the door that opened it up to my entire family. Do you know that you may be the only door to opening up Holy Ghost believing, baptizing, fire, hallelujah, salvation to your entire family? Hallelujah. I got my entire immediate family in my church now. They've got saved, got born again. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of them preaching the gospel. I had to live 8 years without them. I had to set my own clock on Sunday morning. Had to call and hunt me a ride. The church didn't have a bus ministry. Somebody had to come get me. I felt like I was a burden to everybody because I'd call and say, will you pick me up? I don't want to miss revival. But guess what? 21 years later, I'm here. Hallelujah. 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 Why? Because I determined to know and burn with the cause of the Christ, the cause of ministry. God is calling you tonight.
I told this last week. You listen to me. You go listen to some of those Methodist hymnals. You'll find out there's some Pentecost in some of them hymnals. I was wore out preaching one time and came home. I'd been about 8 to 12 weeks straight. And I knew if I come home and went to my home church, I'd have to preach. So I didn't want to. I was tired. I wanted to hear somebody else preach. Amen. And so I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, you know what? I can't go to this church, that church, because they want me to preach. I said, I just want to relax. I've been about 8 to 12 weeks straight. I can't remember now how long it had been. And so I said, they said, won't you go somewhere they don't know you? I said, well, all the Pentecostal ones know me. I said, I tell you what, there's an old country Methodist church outside of town about 8 miles. I'll go there. Hallelujah. He said, okay. Now, some of you done got quiet on me now because I went to the Methodist church. Just hang on. So I pulled up and they had a smoking section outside. They come a long way from John Wesley. Hallelujah. That same crowd out smoking got up and went in the choir. I sat in the back. They got singing them old hymns and they were just going through the motions. But I got to see, I'm going to have church if you put me in a cow pasture. I mean, the wind can blow just right and the trees move and make me think about worshiping. Isaiah said the bird, come on somebody, a bird can fly just right and make me. Come on, somebody. Boy, you don't get quiet on me now. Hallelujah. I was in a restaurant eating, and they were watching ball game. Come on, the big screen. Had a big screen. They had the ball game going. And there's a commercial. Come on, and it had a commercial about flightless birds. Birds that had never flown. They got wings, but they don't fly. And the Holy Ghost fell on me in the middle of the restaurant. And I started building a sermon on the island of flightless birds. My assistant pastor sat there. He done got to watching the game a little bit. He was interested in who was winning. Amen. He's over there done got fired up. All of a sudden, the little girl and me and I'm right. He said, you mean to tell me you done got spiritual in the middle of this restaurant? I said, that commercial a while ago about flightless birds has messed me up. Hallelujah. Come on, you're looking at me funny now. But I'm telling you what, I started listening to that hymnal. I started reading the words. Next thing you know, I done got caught up in the spirit. In the Methodist church, I'm done walking back and forth worshiping, magnifying God. All of a sudden, I come to myself, looked up there, the choir quit singing. I said, I better be still. Amen. All of a sudden, that pastor looked at me. He looked like he'd seen a ghost. He said, I don't know who that kid on that back row is back there, but I feel like he's got something to say. Say something, brother. I said, I got the testifying and the Holy Ghost got on me. I forgot how many got saved that morning. We broke out in revival in the 2 weeks I was supposed to be on a break. I broke out in revival at the Country Methodist Church and went back and preached every year for the next 4 or 5. I got to quit. Amen. I got to finish this tomorrow night. I want you to know when you go to have a revolution, you will cut ties with the world. Everybody shout Muhammad Muizi. Nobody shouted. You didn't understand my words, did you? Muhammad Muizi. Anybody know who that is? Some of you do because you heard me preach it. No, you heard me tell the story. Muhammad Muizi. I need my wheelbarrow now, guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you listen to Pastor God Moon on it? Everybody shout Muhammad Muizi. He is a no-namer. You don't know who he is? Brian, how old are you? 25. You're just right. You're going to be Muhammad Muizi. How you doing, Muhammad? Nice to meet you. Hallelujah. Boy, Brother Sister got there talking to me in the lunch line last night. We were talking about Brother Clendenin. He was talking about what Brother Clendenin said about Muhammad and how Muhammad started the Muslim religion. Hallelujah. And he's telling me about Brother Clendenin and how Muhammad had that vision of all those virgins. And Brother Clendenin said one time, several times at his church, would to God I could have got him the gospel first. Because if Muhammad had got the gospel, what could Muhammad have done for the cause of Jesus Christ?
if Hitler had got the right calls, what could have Hitler done with the gospel of Jesus Christ? If hell can take a boy named Hitler who would die for what he believed in and cause the world such damage, what could God do with a Holy Ghost young boy, young girl, that I get burdened for the cause? And Brother Sessor said he's reading about the dictator of Venezuela. Hallelujah. And his life. Hallelujah. And his home life. Amen. And how that he was chosen not to live with his parents, but his parents could only choose two sons. And they put them out with their grandparents. But yet that boy, that dictator, was trained by a communist, got a hold of the cause, and now he's a dictator of Venezuela. Brother Sessor preached that and make it a masterpiece. But I want you to know, hallelujah, that dictator could have got a hold of the cause of Jesus Christ. What could he have done? Are you hearing me? These are ordinary young men and women who got a cause worth living for, worth fighting for, and worth dying for. And they died trying to bring about a change for the cause of what they believe. Am I boring y'all tonight? Muhammad Bouazizi is a 26-year-old boy. December the 17th, 2010, this year, last year, he lives in a country called Tunisia or Tanzania. Ever how you want to say it? Some pronounce it Tanzania, some pronounce it Tunisia. It's up there in between Libya and Egypt and all those countries surrounding Israel. Muhammad Bouazizi, he's 26 years old. He's got six brothers and sisters that he's trying to support, and a mother and an uncle with a back problem. And every day he took his wheelbarrow, loaded it with fruit. Put your fruit in there, Brother Muhammad. He loaded it down with fruit. He turned it into a fruit cart. Hallelujah. And Muhammad would leave his house, go down there, and then come back. Hallelujah. And he would load it down and he'd go. It's a 30% unemployment rate. It's hard on a young man to survive in that country. Just stop right there. That dictator who had been in that country for 27 years had ruled that country, but all of a sudden Muhammad Bouazizi on December the 17th, an ordinary day, they made fun of him, they slapped him, they wouldn't give you a permit, and the police would come out and beat them and throw their carts over and steal their stuff and go on about their business every day. He had to fight hell every day. 26 years old, he has nothing to live for, and he was angry. But this day, he brought his wheelbarrow. Just bring it right here to the main market. Just lay it right there. Come here, Sister Jessie. Sister Atkins. This Sister Jessie. Jessica, get her. Come here, Sister Jessica. A female officer come to Muhammad Bouazizi on December the 17th, 2010. She took his fruit. You got to get aggressive, baby. She's a female officer. She walked up to him and took his fruit cart and turned it over. It was just normal. Muhammad buried his head. He's used to the persecution, used to the disaster. But this time she reached and grabbed his scales, his electric scales, snatched them out of his hand. She snatched him, and when she did, he said, "Oh, no, you're not. I've worked my entire life. I'm doing my best to help my family." Amen. And when she did, she reached up and slapped him across the face. Hallelujah. And spit in his face. Hallelujah. And cursed his dead father. And when she did, something snapped in Muhammad Bouazizi's mind. You don't believe me? Go home and Google it. Muhammad left his fruit cart, left that
market, went down to the government building and knocked on the door. The government officials come out and said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Your female officer has done this and this and this and this and this, and I demand justice. I want to see some of the root leaders." They laughed at him and said, "You got any money?" Amen. In other words, you give us some money, we'll let you talk to whoever you want to talk to. He said, "No, I ain't got no money." And the crookedness of that nation was too much for him. He took and walked away, took what little money he had, went down to the hardware store and bought him a gallon of gas or either paint thinner. The news says, come back, walk right in front of that government building, poured it on the top of his head till it drenched his body, took a match and lit himself on fire. 26 years old. December 17th, 2010. Muhammad Bouazizi said, "I'm sick of the way things are going, and I demand a change." He set himself on fire. You say, what does that got to do with us? In a matter of hours, Facebook and Twitter was on fire. That entire country was in an uproar in hours. Young people all over that nation come out and begin to have riots, bust windows, set things on fire. Hallelujah. On the honor of Muhammad Bouazizi. In a matter of hours, the president had Mr. Muhammad Bouazizi rush to another hospital. He visited that hospital, visited the parents, and he said, "I'll do something about it. I'll fire that female officer." Come on, but somebody shout, "It ain't enough." Come on, shout, "It ain't enough." It ain't enough just to fire that female officer. She ain't the problem. The entire system's the problem. The entire dictatorship's the problem. My God, I feel like I'm preaching. Hallelujah. And the young people of that nation rose thinking they're fighting for the good of that nation. But all it is the hand of God. What kings and governments hasn't been able to do in years. One 27-year-old boy who got angry enough, amen, to bring a change radical enough that he set himself on fire, has now set that nation on fire. It has been a revolution. You say, "Brother Greg, that's for Muslims. That's for the wrong stuff. That's for the wrong religion." You better believe it is. And for us, it's not a good thing, but yet it is a good thing. Because everybody shout, "It didn't stop there." He died 18 days later in January. They wouldn't even let him have a funeral. They made him secretly, privately bury him, and 5,000 people showed up, chanting and screaming. "Today we weep for you, Bouazizi. But tomorrow will make them that cause you to weep, weep." And in January, a dictator who had been the president of that country 20-something years took his wife and kids and fled the country to Saudi Arabia. And that dictator stepped down, and there's a change in that country. But everybody shout, "It didn't stop there." Egypt got a hold of it. And Egypt said, "If they can do it," oh, I wish I could preach to you. "If they can do it, and it changed their dictator, and it changed their country, then what can happen if we do it?" So Facebook and Twitter was on fire. Till they had to shut the internet down. And that's why Mr. Obama has got it fixed and is working hard to make sure that all he's got to do is hit one button and shut the entire internet down in this country so we can't do the same thing. Because Facebook is a powerful tool in the hands of a wrong cause or the right cause. Hallelujah. And Egypt's in an uproar, and a 30-year-old dynasty, really 60-year-old allies with Israel, was brought down. You're not listening to me. And what God, we've been, you're not hearing me. The end of time, the chaos had to come because it's going to bring the stage for the Antichrist. And God used a 26-year-old boy to set the stage for the end of time. One boy. And when I was studying on the rapture and the end of time, and I was preaching this at my church, and I got over this, the Holy Ghost said to me, if I can do that for the cause of the end of time, then what could I do with a young girl, a young boy that arise and say, I believe you enough that I give my life for the cause of this gospel. I'm ready to start a spiritual revolution in my house, in my life, in my church, in my community. Boy, it's got quiet now. What could God do with the youth group? God only needs one. One young girl to go home and break out in revival. One young girl left a youth camp 1 year on fire for God, took it home to a church that had compromised and went opposite directions of the power of God and the will of God. But when this young girl got home, she set the stage. God miraculously changed her life, which brought her mother unconviction and brought her mother. She stood up and said, if God can do that, my daughter require that of my daughter and give that to my daughter and fill her with the Holy, then he can do the same thing for me. The husband stood up and said, for me too. The youth leader's wife stood up and said, for me too. And in a matter of weeks, the entire church broke out in revival because one girl came home from youth camp and started a revolution. Oh dear God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I need some young boy that'll say, some young girl that'll say, Satan, you turn my fruit cart over one too many times. I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for a revolution. And God's looking for some young girl that'll let it snap in her brain. Some young boy that'll let it snap in his brain. And he'll leave here and say, you know what? I really can do this. I really can have this. I really can be this. It's my destiny. It's my will. It's the will of God. It's the plan of God. God has me planned to start a revolution. Hallelujah. How many of you say tonight, the devil's turned my fruit cart over too many times? Hallelujah. I'm closing. Hallelujah. You're not dancing and shouting, and that's okay, because I'm here for a rally. I'm here for my brethren. Hallelujah. When they gathered in Egypt's capital, the brethren gathered for the same cause. Men who don't even know each other. Come here, brother. Me and you don't know each other, do we? They grasp arms because they're in the same battle. I don't know you either, brother. But they stood in the same capital and they said, we want a revolution. In Tunisia, they gathered together, strangers ready to fight the same cause. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm looking at a generation, amen, who don't understand why we don't fellowship this group and why this group don't fellowship that group and why this group don't have nothing to do with that group and why there's a youth camp here and a youth camp over yonder and a youth camp
over here, and we all used to worship together, but we can't worship together, and we can't magnify God together. But God is rising up a generation that'll say, I don't understand why we've been separated all these years. Hey, but brother, we need a revolution. We need to take our city. We need to take our community. Lift your hands all over this building and shout, God, I want to be in your plan. Nobody looking but me and the Lord and these men of God. But if God's talking to you, young lady, I'm not here to play games with you. But if God's talking to you, I want you on your feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If God, go ahead. I'm waiting on the young lady. I'll get the boys in just a minute. What young lady am I here preaching to? What young lady did God send me here to talk to? Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Is there any mothers back there? Is there any mothers on this side? Is there any counselors that'll say, God's talking to me, Pastor Greg. I'm ready to start a revolution. All right, who, what boys am I talking to? Who did God send me here to Southern Ohio this year to preach to on the second night of this meeting? Hallelujah. I'm ready. I'm not just caught up in emotion. I feel like God is wiping that out. Amen. For this cause, I need some young people who's dedicated to the purpose and to the cause, that when it ain't dancing and shouting and running aisles, you'll still be ready to live and die and fight for the cause. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Brother Baker. Hallelujah. Go ahead, bring him on in this altar. He grabbed me last night. He said, man of God, you're talking to my boys. You're talking to my girls. Hallelujah. Oh, you're not coming out here to feel better. You're coming out here to say, I'm committing to the cause. Hallelujah. You know what? This Morgantown bunch is saying, I'm ready for the cause. Matter of fact, this is the second time they've heard me. I preach at a youth conference the other night on Friday night and preach all three sermons in one.
Lord,
this, amen. But up and in your ear. Strip these seats. I want all you elders that can come help us. I need Holy Ghost laying hands on people.
Oh, we're ready for,
come on, I need Holy Ghost Lord, people that'll lay hands.
We're ready.
The church is about to get raptured. The Holy
we're
Ghost
ready,
is about
Lord,
to be taken out of here. Come on, young ladies, press your way in. You that are in that middle aisle, come on, press your way on in. Get up closer, boys. Come on up closer, boys, so that whole aisle can come in. Come on, I need holy. Some of you gray-haired grandmas and mamas, come on in here. I don't know how we used to do it when we had 400. Hallelujah, in this altar. Amen. It's hard to move around. I don't know how we did it when there were 400 here. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, lay hands on her. I'm answering the cause. I'm answering the purpose. Keep me up, brother. Keep me up so they can hear me. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm ready, God. I'm going to be a spiritual Boozy. I'm going to be a Holy Ghost 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 St. Francis. I'm going to be a spiritual Boozy. A spiritual. Hallelujah. We're ready for change. We're ready for revival.